All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. That's where we're going to be this morning and in part of 20. And really, we got one more sermon after this Sunday in part two of our Acts series. And then we're going to go into a little short series on what it means to delight in the Lord for a moment. Now, as you open your Bibles today, you know, this is another passage really dealing with some of these final movements and things that Paul is doing in his third missionary journey. And again, it's going to demonstrate to us the way the Spirit is superintending the expansion of the church through Paul and his guys. And remember, this book is detailing really the birth and the expansion of God's church in Jerusalem and all the way to the ends of the earth. And aren't you glad that God got it all the way here to the ends of the earth, right? So that we could know Him. In fact, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Okay, so this book, and we've seen that at every turn, this book is about how the Spirit is moving and growing His church, and more people are being transformed by this gospel of Christ. And here we are looking at how God is doing that through Paul. Let me ask you this question this morning as we get started. How confident are you of God's leading in your life? Think about this for a second. Or maybe you've never really felt like God has led you in your life. How shaken is your confidence when you face those unexpected difficulties that we all do, and God said they would come? Like, I think, what is God leading me to? What does He have for me? And then difficulty comes in the way. You know, I made that decision to leave my secular job many years ago now and give my life to ministry and what I believe God was calling, and I did that. I quit my job, moved across the country to go to seminary, and you know what came the very next day, almost? A lawsuit. You're like, God, really? Right? Like, I thought I heard you, I was confident in what you said, and now this? Part of God's plan. As we look at Paul's ministry and life this morning, I think this is what God wants to say to us out of Acts 19. God wants us to walk confidently as His people in the power of the Spirit. Okay, God wants you to walk confidently with Him so that you can be faithful to the gospel and you can be fruitful in the gospel. I mean, I want that in my life. We want to be confident in who God is and where He has called us and what He is doing in us so that whatever comes our way, we go, God, You're with me. I know what's going on. Okay, so we're going to look at this in three sections this morning. Let's look at this first. I think this is what calls us to first. God wants us to walk confidently in the Spirit's direction. You know, I love that Luke, the writer of Acts, returns to this theme in Paul's life, the direction of the Spirit in Paul's life. It's easy to get lost kind of in these last chapters with his travel log. He's going here, and there's this crazy thing happening there, and I've got some success, and I've got opposition. But you got to remember, all along the way, it is God by His Spirit that is moving Paul and giving him victory after victory, even as it looks like he is being defeated or faces difficulty. Look at what it says here in verse 21 of chapter 19. Now, after those events, and he's talking about the ones we looked at last week, the giving of the Spirit to John's followers, people being healed by items that had touched Paul, and then seven sons of Sceva trying to heal in Jesus' name. It says, after these things, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. You know, a great reminder here by Luke, don't forget, all that's happening with Paul is by the movement of the Spirit. Okay? Little phrase there. I love how it says there in verse 21, Paul resolved in the Spirit to where he was going to go next. You know, that word resolve there in the Greek actually means to make up one's mind. Okay, so there's this decision that Paul has made. He has wrestled with the Spirit again in conjunction with the Spirit. Likely like the season we saw earlier in Acts 16, where he tried to go one direction and the Spirit said, no, not now, go this way. In fact, here's where you should go. Go to Macedonia. Likely Paul had gone through another season here, wrestling with God, wrestling with the Spirit. What's next for my life and ministry? You know, Romans chapter 15, 22 through 28 tells us more about this. It says Paul actually discerned in the Spirit that God was calling him to Spain to preach the gospel, but along the way, he wanted to go give this gift of money to the church in Jerusalem to encourage them and to visit Rome and see what God had done there. But his ultimate ambition was to get to Spain to continue to preach the gospel. And so Paul had resolved this, that this is where God was taking him. He was confident. Now, surely our calling is a little different in Paul's in some ways, right? We're not an apostle planting churches. Some of you might be church planters one day. But God has promised us similarly in the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us throughout our lives. And really, our job as Christians, now we enter into this relationship with God, we are to wrestle for direction and guidance at every twist and turn of our lives until we are resolved in God's Spirit and where He is taking us and what He is doing. For the purpose of making us faithful and fruitful Christians, wherever we would find ourselves. You know, I love that Jen picked up on these verses. We actually didn't talk about this. We're talking about the Spirit, but she picked the same verses as me. And I like that. So she shortcut my sermon. Thanks, Jen. John chapter 15, right? Jesus there calls the Holy Spirit our helper. Think about that. Do you think of the Spirit as your helper? Or are you going it alone? And he tells us much of what the helper does. It says he bears witness about who Jesus is. So the Spirit is the one that makes who Jesus is known to us. He is the one that illuminates our hearts to believe. John 16:8, it also says the Holy Spirit's coming into the world to convict us of sin, right, and righteousness and judgment. So it's the Spirit of God that is making the gospel known, and he's applying it to our hearts. He shows us where we fall short, and yet he shows us how God's graciousness saves us through the work of Christ. And so we want to wrestle with the Spirit as we think about following Jesus. And then John 16:13, Jesus tells us, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, so what the Spirit speaks is truth, not falsehood, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Don't you see this? If you are a believer in Jesus, you have access to God's very heart and mind through the Spirit. I love this, right? Like Jesus is saying, through the Spirit, you get everything I have, and I got everything from the Father. You get everything, right? And what he also says is the Spirit's work is to make Jesus known and to glorify Him. So you want to know what not the Spirit's voice sounds like? If it's anything other than glorifying Jesus. I think this is pretty cool that in Jesus, through the Spirit, we get everything that God has. I kind of think about it like this way. You know, many of you, we all have families, right? And kind of as you grow up, you begin to see that everything your family has is your own. And this can be frustrating as a parent, right? Like you go, well, where's my tool in my garage? Well, my son, right, went in there and grabbed my tool and did whatever he wanted to do. But this is kind of what Jesus is saying. Everything that the Father has, everything that Jesus has, He gives it to us by the Spirit. It's all yours. That's really good, right? And how do we hear the Spirit's voice? How can we walk confidently in the things that God has said to us? How do we resolve in the Spirit what God has for us? We've We've put this up here before. We have a little graphic, a little triangle graphic, right? This is the Holy Spirit. This is how he speaks to us. He speaks most clearly through his word. You can read your Bible and you can go, that is God's word by the Spirit to me. He inspired that book. It's his word, right? Second way he speaks to us is through the church. If I think I understand something from God's word, then I can go to his church and talk it over with believers, and God speaks through other believers. You know, I love how God speaks his word. I mean, this is how it works. Like, I can tell you how many times I have sat down with God's word, and God goes, that's for you today, right? Like, you need to do that. You need to take on this attitude. You need to repent of that sin. And then I go to the church, and I've been wrestling over different things, praying for God for things. And you ever had that experience where person after person comes to you and goes, you know, I was thinking about this, and it was the same thing you've been asking God about. And you go, that's funny. I was just praying about that. And the next person, and the next person, and God begins to speak through his church, the local body of believers, to us. And God also speaks to us, as we have up there, through the Spirit's work in our heart. He illuminates things. He applies things. He says, hey, you ought to think about this, right? Or you see that right there? I can remember being on a mission trip before and God speaking to me going, you need to go talk to that guy right there, right? And you're like, that guy, really? Yep, that guy right there, right? And I go and talk to that guy, and sure enough, this guy is wrestling with the things of God, right? And begins to speak to me and begin to share the gospel with him. And so I want to challenge you here this morning, right? Paul is resolving in the Spirit. He's showing us what it looks like to live confidently in God, that we wrestle with God through his word, through other believers in the church. We wrestle with him personally and make space to hear him. I want to challenge you this morning to find time, right, this week to get with Jesus and listen to his Spirit. You might go, well, that's kind of, you're talking about getting with Jesus in his Spirit. If you remember back in Acts, he both calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. Okay, this is part of why we believe in the Trinity, right? As the Bible speaks of these things, we put them together. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and yet he gives us the things of Jesus, and he gives us the things of God himself. You know, I have several decisions that I am trying to make for myself personally and the church. And so it's my job right then now as a Christian and a leader of this church to find time to get with the Lord, make my requests known to him, and listen, right? Search it out in his word. Think about it with his people and let God illuminate my heart. You know, and as you grow in your Christian life, it is a great comfort to see God's faithfulness in giving you direction, right? You got to grow in this. You kind of got to test it out. Like, okay, God, I think you're seeing this. I think this is your word towards me. And so you got to step out in faith and see if it is. And then when you see that it is God's voice, then guess what? You know what it sounds like better the next time. And you step out a little quicker. This is what God wants us to do, to grow in our confidence in his voice, in his leading, even when things are really unclear and really difficult. We can sit back in confidence knowing that God will lead us. He has said he would by his Spirit. And so I want us to become a church of believers that walk confidently in the Spirit's direction as we seek the Lord together in all circumstances. You know, I'd ask you to join me in seeking the Lord in something. We just kicked out this church plant. Kicked out's a bad word. We were happy to send them, right? God had led us to this. God gave us the team. He gave us the finances. He gave us the place. We sent them out under the Spirit's blessing. It's a great thing. But here's my question. God, what do we do next? What do you have for us next? And I want you to join me in that prayer. I'm mulling these things over. I'm asking the elders to pray. I'm asking the CLT to pray. What do you have next for our church to be a faithful witness in this city and around the world? Is it to plant a church just like we did, that God would send us another guy? Maybe. Is it to plant a site downtown where we would preach and teach? Maybe. Is it to plant a church overseas? I don't know, but I need the Spirit's guidance, and I need his guidance from you too. And so let's seek the Lord together and ask him, what would you have us do as a church to keep following you and keep making the gospel known? Now, our passage heats up here a bit. It takes a little bit of a turn. We're going to see that the people of Ephesus, Jen almost said of emphasis, which I think is kind of funny. The people of Ephesus, or Ephesus, they reject Paul's message. And when we see difficulty come in our life, it can cause us to doubt God's direction or what he's doing. Maybe I didn't hear God right. Maybe that isn't what he said. Maybe he's going to abandon me this time. You ever thought that? This is the time, right? Like, he's led me all this way, but this time he's going to push me off a cliff. We think these thoughts. And so it's good that Luke shows us how God guides Paul right through this riot now that's going to happen in Ephesus. And it's almost presented at the end like this was no big deal, actually, because we knew where God was taking us. So this is what Paul demonstrates for us, too. This is point number two. Trust the Spirit's direction in times of difficulty. So we want to be confident in the Spirit's direction, and then we want to trust it in times of difficulty. Look at Acts 19:23. It says this. About that time, after Paul had resolved in the Spirit, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. So Paul's just resolved to go to Spain to expand the gospel via Jerusalem and Rome. And now this? Did I hear the Lord wrong? Right? No, but we have an enemy that wants to oppose us. And he does that through people that don't know God. Okay, this term, I love this term here, the way, too. This is one of the several times in Acts that it talks about this. This term is used in Acts to describe Christianity, that Christians preach the way. That means there's one way of salvation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no salvation anywhere else. You want to find reconciliation with God? Here's the way, right? This is what they were preaching. And I want you to see that this protest we're now going to read about is a protest of the gospel. People coming against the gospel, its teachings, its followers. Look at how this comes about. Look at verse 23 again. About that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned a great many people, saying that gods made with human hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all of Asia and the world worship. Okay, we got a big problem here, right? So here we get this, the brass tacks of our issue. There's this man, Demetrius, who makes his money by making little idols of the god of the city, right? And Paul has upset that because he's got Paul's message. Paul said, those idols, those are not God at all. There's only one true God, and there's only one way to him. And so he makes these, and he's upset. Who is Artemis, by the way? You can look this up and Google it when you get home. ChatGPT it, whatever you want to do. Your favorite AI. But Artemis was a Greek god, basically of fertility, and protected the new life of animals and women in childbirth, and also connected to the moon. And so this temple in Ephesus was one of the biggest temples. In fact, many believe that Artemis was born there, and so they have one of the greatest temples there, but her cult was all over the Roman Empire. In fact, she's known also as Diana, if you have heard that name before. And so this message of the way speaking against Artemis with the gospel is affecting business. Demetrius is offended also that the worship of his god Artemis is not revered. Okay, it's like if somebody moves in your town and starts throwing shade on all the things that you like about your town and all the things that you've grown up with and all the things that you hold dear, you don't like it very much. Quite a charge. You know, I was at, just 2 weeks ago, I was in Paris, actually, and I was at the Louvre, and they have a temple of they have a statue of Artemis there. And it was fascinating to look at. As I considered the statue, having read this, you know, a little shiver went down my spine. as I stood before this large statue. Thought of the great deception that has surrounded this statue and so many that they have collected there from ancient times in Greek. Not that I was afraid of the statue, because as Paul said, that's not a god. It has no power. It can't do anything to me. But saddened by the deception of Satan that has led so many astray. And I think this teaches us something about the work of the Spirit in our lives to save us. Look, if the Spirit doesn't reveal the gospel, which is one of His jobs to us, to convict us of sin, impute faith, we're not going to get it. And we're going to stand against it, just like Demetrius. Right. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us, "It is God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' and He has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This means it is a work of God by His Spirit in our hearts to be able to see and believe the gospel of Christ. And just like God created light out of nowhere, when you become a believer in Jesus, it's like God put light in your heart that's never been there. And suddenly you get it. And I just want to say, if you're here this morning and you're wrestling with the gospel, some of you are, I talked to you this morning, you know, who is Jesus, what the Bible claims about Him, what it means to make Him Lord of our life, and all the costs of that, right? Giving up things that have made us money in the past, forsaking things that we have honored and revered, all the costs of following Jesus. So I want to say, don't give up, right? Wrestle with the Spirit of God. If He's shining light into your heart, resolve it in Jesus with the Spirit of God, who Jesus is. He can do it. This is what He's in the business of. For those of us that know Jesus, let's have compassion on those that don't follow Him. In fact, Demetrius, in his opposition, demonstrates the difficulty and pain, I think, that come in that accompany following Jesus. Like when we make Jesus Lord of our lives, right, it means that whatever has been Lord of our life can no longer be. And that will impact your finances. That will offend what you have thought is sacred. Right? Like if you grew up with a different religious background, and many do in this city, then the true Jesus will offend your senses. Worship of Him will be costly. What you thought was sacred is now thrown out. And following Him will cost you something. You know, there was one of the founders of our church, actually, a brilliant man that I'm sad that he has now gone to be with the Lord. I'm glad he's with the Lord, but I'm sad he's not with us. His name was Wayne Tuttle, and he heard the gospel message by the traveling evangelist that started this church in Holladay in the late 50s. And Wayne Tuttle was not a Christian, and he heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God revealed the gospel to him, and he was saved and gave his life to Jesus. And you know what that meant? It meant he lost his entire inheritance with his family. His family disowned him. They took away his inheritance, and they did not associate with him for the next 70 years of his life. This is what it costs, right? His family owned a lot of property up on the Bountiful Bench, and because he followed Jesus, he never got a piece of it. When his brother died, Wayne came to me one day, he's in his late 80s, and said, "Will you just go with me? Because it's so hard to be with my family. They don't want me there." Wayne served Jesus all the way into his 90s. In fact, if you know our church, he was out here mowing the lawn until he was like 93. This is Wayne. But making Jesus Lord initially offended his senses, came against everything he had ever known and worshipped, and when he became a Christian, it cost him everything. But he wrestled with the Spirit was saying in his heart through God's word and the witness of others, and he placed his faith in Jesus. And then he walked confidently in that for 80 years of his life. This is what God wants for us as Christ followers, right? Confident walking in the Spirit, knowing what God has said and where He is taking us. Not doubting it for a moment, even though it costs us everything. Passage also shows us here that the voice of the culture will try to drown out the Spirit's voice as Jesus brings about his kingdom, you can guarantee that Satan and his minions want to drown out what God is doing and saying. In fact, look at how this story continues, starting in verse 28 here. And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, I'm sorry, let me go up to 28. When they heard this, what Demetrius was saying, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of Ephesians!" So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him, and even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion. Most of them did not know why they'd even come together. Some of the crowd promoted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out in one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" When the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky?" You can Google that when you get home. "Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen who have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause we can give to justify this commotion." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And I love this verse. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for his disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed to Macedonia. Case closed. Right? Notice here the confusion. 2 hours shouting, "Great is Artemis." Right? I mean, this is like a sports team rally. Yeah, shout it louder. Maybe they'll believe you then. You know, in a foreign country, you ever had this experience? You go to a foreign country and there's another person that speaks a different language, and they don't understand you. And so what do? You talk louder, as if that will solve the problem, right? That's kind of what they're doing here. Like, we don't like this, so maybe if we say it louder, we'll defeat what they're saying. And at the same time, the louder those voices grow from the world, the more it is hard to hear the Spirit's voice. I'm going to ask you this morning, what noise in your life attempts to drown out the Spirit's voice as you are walking with Him? You know, in my life, it can be all sorts of things. It can be media, for everything from the radio to the TV to stuff to being with people to being about my job, where I can just crowd the Spirit out and not hear Him. You know, I look at many wear headphones. Friends of mine wear headphones all the time, and I've always found like it just keeps me from finding a quiet time with God if I'm constantly have things coming into my mind. I can't hear the Spirit. I was one time in a history class in college at the U. This is not good, so college students, don't do this. I don't know what my problem was, but I thought, I don't want to listen to this lecture. So I'd sit in the back with the earphone in my ear and listen to music on my iPod, right? And this is what we do so often in life. We let the noise come in because we don't want to deal with the things of God, maybe. And God is right there speaking to us, and we miss the whole message because we're being distracted. Now, God eventually convicted me of that and said, "Put that down. That's not very respectful." And so I learned all about Scioto Creek and the history of Native Americans in the West, which was really great, actually. But the enemy wants to drown out God's voice and bring us back under his control. And so what noise do you need to cut out from your life to hear the Spirit's leading and direction? Notice in all the noise, though, God is working, right? They're trying to drown out what God's doing. Paul walks confidently. Paul wanted to run into this mess. That's crazy. And reason with them from the gospel in this riot. And luckily, the disciples around him said, "Paul, I think God's saying, let's not do that." Right? And he listened. So Paul must have thought, yeah, this is what the Spirit's saying. And likely his life was spared. But the city was in great confusion. They're looking for scapegoats. They call up this Jewish guy. They grab Paul's buddy. And eventually, right? The town clerk comes in and says, guys, Rome's going to be after us if we don't knock it off, right? Now, you might stand back at that and go, well, those are all nice happenstances. But I think the book of Acts wants to show you the Spirit of God was superintending exactly what he wanted Paul to do. You're going towards Spain, and even this riot comes up, I'm taking you through it. I'm going to speak to your friends and say, get out of there. I'm going to make the town clerk come up and settle the whole thing, and the Spirit of God is taking Paul exactly where he needs to go. And so we want to trust what God is doing in the midst of everything. If we know what God has said to us by His Spirit, then we can trust Him in the midst of difficulty. Listen, Romans 8:34, I love this, what God said about us. Paul said, in Jesus, we are more than conquerors, that there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. And he lists all sorts of things. And if we hear that the Spirit has said that to us, then you can walk confidently in the Spirit through whatever difficulty comes into your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, where's God asking you to trust him this morning? What has he said about where you're going? How is he asking you to trust him this morning? Now, passage this morning tells us one other thing here about how we can confidently walk in the power of the Spirit of God's people. And it's going to be this. He says, look, I want you to be encouraged by the Spirit through other believers. Okay, look at this. Six last verses here. This is what it says in chapter 20. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those reasons and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater, the Berean, son of Phyrus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Now, you might just blow over this, but I want you to see a few things here. First off, Paul is modeling encouragement for us. He is encouraging believers everywhere we go. I don't know if you caught that. It says he encouraged the guys in Ephesus, and then he departed. He went into Macedonia, and he encouraged those guys. And you might go, well, what is he telling them? Like, what would he say? And I think we're going to see some of that next week, but it might be something like Philippians 3:14. Guys, press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ. Keep going, right? You've got the gospel. God has saved you. We're going really good places. Keep going, right? I love to get together with believers that are good friends. There is nothing like catching up, talking about the highs and lows of our life with believing friends, and we always end up encouraging one another in the gospel. Right? Isn't it great what God has done? Man, I'm facing this hard thing. Will you pray for me? I know where we're going, but this is really difficult. Like, we encourage one another. In fact, one of my best friends, I remember how we committed to the Lord together to serve Him in so many ways, and we've seen guys come and go, and every time we get on the phone, we say, let's keep going, right? Keep going. Don't give up. God called us to this. He'll see you through it. Keep going. And maybe you need to hear that this morning. What Jesus has done for you is really, really great. He's forgiven you. He's brought you into His family. He has a relationship with you. He wants to be your helper, your guidance. And I am sure, as Paul said, that God will complete what He started in you. But Paul wants to tell you this morning, keep going. Be encouraged in the Spirit through other believers. Because we're headed towards a really great reward. Keep going. And after Paul encouraged those guys, he moved on to Greece, likely the church in Corinth. He spent 3 months there. And as he's about to travel, here's more difficulty. God's told him where he's going. Some Jews want to kill him, but they find out about that. Spirit protects him, keeps going. And then I want to remind you what Paul has said he's doing, Romans 15:22 through 28. He said, I'm going to Spain, right? But before I do that, I'm going to go give this gift to relieve the churches in Rome of their give aid to the poor, show the saints that were with them, then I'm going to visit Rome, then I'm going to Spain. And what we see here in this passage in verses 4 through 6 tells us that brothers from almost every church that Paul planted are going with him to do the work. You think that's encouraging on Paul's side? Like, what an amazing thing. It lists guys from Berea, guys from the Thessalonians, guys from Galatia, guys from Asia. Luke's with him because he's writing about it. Likely, they were representatives from these planted churches that were joining Paul to go encourage the church in Jerusalem. Don't miss that. That is amazing. These guys served as proof of the fruit of what the Spirit was doing. All these men and the churches they represent the Spirit's work through Paul to spread the gospel and transform lives. Do you think Paul was encouraged by that? Man, it is a great encouragement to be encouraged by the Spirit through other believers in Jesus. You can even think of Corinthians. Paul says to the Corinthians, "You are my boast. You are my joy. You are my heart. You are my letter of recommendation." Like, I know that God has worked through me. The Spirit encourages me because I see what He's done in you. What an amazing thing. It's also proof to the churches in Jerusalem of what God has been doing so that they can be encouraged that this message of the gospel is for the whole world and only the Spirit of God could bring these brothers together. And so in God's economy, the Spirit of God and other believers is one of the most tangible ways that we get to experience Christ's love for us. I want you to think about that. If we're going to walk confidently in the Spirit, then we must find ways to get with other believers so that the Spirit can encourage us through them. You know, this week I was with 90-plus pastors from around Utah and Idaho and Wyoming and some from across the country, and we were working at this thing, how do we preach better? And you go, well, that probably wasn't very encouraging. Well, parts of it were, but what was encouraging was these other brothers and what God was doing through them. And the way we got to speak into each other's lives through the Spirit, like, oh, you're dealing with that? I've dealt with that. God will see you through that. Right? Keep going. Spirit of God speaking and encouraging us through other believers. It's part of the blessing we get to have here on Sunday mornings that we gather together as the body of Christ. That's why we say, when you leave, speak to somebody you know and encourage them. Right? Encourage them in the gospel to keep going. I don't want you to miss out on that week to week. We need each other in the encouragement that comes by the Spirit if we're going to walk confidently in what God has told us in the gospel. Benjamin, come on up. So Paul here, I think, by his example, the Spirit speaking to us this morning, and God's saying to us, I want you to walk confidently in the Spirit. I want you to walk in the power of the Spirit so that you can have a faithful and a fruitful life in Jesus. That's what God has said is there for us, and we want to be able to do that. And we walk confidently in the Spirit's direction as we seek His voice, as we get time with Him in His Word, as we gather with His people, as we just sit with Him and listen as He speaks to us through things. And then we trust Him after He's spoken. Trust Him where He's taken us, what He's promised to us in Scripture, how He's saved you, where He said you're going. Trust Him in times of difficulty. Maybe this morning you're going through a time of difficulty and God's saying, I'm with you, right? Like, let's ask Him for continued guidance. If you got something on your heart today, like, God, I need to know what's going on here. When we respond today, you pray and say, God, give me guidance. I need to know you're with me. Show me what to do next. He'll do it. And then finally, we want to be encouraged in the Spirit that is in all of us that have followed Jesus. Your job on Sunday morning is to encourage another brother and sister. That's why you're here. That's why we got to gather together so that we can feel the love of God being poured out through His Spirit that dwells in each one of us. As we come to an end this morning, let's respond to God and ask for His Spirit to do a work in us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your work. Thank you for what you have said in your word. Thank you for your Spirit that has illuminated so many hearts in this room to the gospel and saved us. God, I pray that we would draw into your Spirit and spend time with you, that we would hear from you. Be our helper. Be our guide. Guide us in all truth. Show us what's next. Father, help us to glorify Jesus. For those that are wrestling with who Jesus is and what you're speaking to them by the Spirit, I pray they press into you. You make yourself more than known. They would be undeniable what you are doing in their heart by the Spirit to say Jesus is Lord. And Father, for those of us facing difficulty, God, would you comfort us? Would you lead and guide us? Would you encourage us through the brothers and sisters in this room? God, we want to walk by your Spirit confidently in what you have done and are doing through Christ. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.